Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Vibrant Health Solutions Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and each week I come here and bring you cutting-edge information to help you lead the healthiest and the happiest life ever. And I believe that we need to take our health care into our own hands, which is why I'm a big fan of education and bringing on experts and sharing from my own experience things that we've learned over time that have helped us and clients we've worked with to just turn their health around when all hope was lost, or turn their health around when they're just tired of these silly symptoms that everybody said was all in their head. So I get excited when I get to share with you special people and special topics. And today I have a very special person and a very special topic. So I'll tell you a little bit about the topic, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the person, and then we will jump right in and get started. The topic is about gut bugs. You heard me, gut bugs. You know, critters that live in your belly. And before you turn off the radio now and say, ew, it's true. We all have these bugs, these gut bugs that live in our bodies. And there's the ones that live there are supposed to be like super helpful. They're like the super, super like cooperative, and they help out and they make vitamins and they help digest our food. But unfortunately, we live in this real world with lots of stresses and toxins and exposures that cause our good gut bugs to kind of shrink and go hold back, because there's these big bad meanies that start to grow in our guts and they get us out of balance, and they don't make vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and help us digest our food. They just do these little bad things and attack and make toxins that make us feel bad. And we're going to learn today that it's not just all in your gut as far as how the symptoms of these little critters comes about. So let me tell you that. So I got you a little bit excited, and hopefully I didn't get you turned off. And now let me tell you about who we have here, a very special person to present. And the reason, one of the reasons I'm really excited to present is because I've gotten to know Steph. Her name is Steph Jackson, and she's from Vancouver, Canada. And I got to know her very well over the last year because she's in my nutritional endocrinology practitioner training program. And she's a shining star in our program, and she's brilliant, and she's a researcher, and she's got a heart of gold. And she is super passionate about helping you to become your best and live your best health ever. Because Steph is very healthy now, and her body's kind of working the way she would like it to be most of the time. And she's happy, and she's healthy, and she eats great food, and she takes care of her little boy. And it wasn't always like that for her. In fact, it wasn't that long ago that she wasn't feeling so well, and she did the typical doctor, 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 and nobody really could help her. And it was through her own digging and learning that she discovered some of the stuff that she's going to share with her, with us today, which completely turned her health around, and it's completely turned the health around of a lot of the patients, clients that she's been working with. So I'm going to let Steph tell you a little bit more about her story, and then we're going to dig into those little critters that are living in your gut and how you can create peace and harmony with them instead of all-out war. So, Steph, I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. It's such an honor to be here after listening to so many of these. I can't believe I'm on the radio show.
Yay! Yes, and you have so much to share, and you have some really unique perspectives, and that's why I invited you here. It's, you know, not because I love you and you're so, you know, a great student and all. It's because you have a unique perspective that I don't hear often, and I want you to be able to share that with people so they have the hope of, and they have something to look forward to in terms of finally getting their digestive issues settled, or some of the other issues, as we'll talk about, that they may not even know they have digestive issues, that they just have these unexplained symptoms. So I know that you've been through the ringer here with your own health, and I'd love to hear just a short enough version to get people inspired, because they may be dealing with something similar. And I like to give people that feeling of hope that, hey, there is maybe a solution for me too.
Yeah, I'd love to share a little bit about how I came to this, because I'd had digestive symptoms my whole life, and I, of course, had thought, you know, that they were totally normal. And it was sometime, I was, you know, in my early 30s when I figured out that I was celiac, and it had gone undiagnosed for a really long time. And even though it was in the family, I just kind of, you know, didn't really clue into that. But I'd been eating, you know, dairy-free for ages, for decades at that point. And I still wasn't feeling very well. So then I cut out the gluten and, you know, I still wasn't feeling very well. And then my son was born. And things got way, way worse. And my joints got swollen and black and super sore. And I wasn't even able to really like go grocery shopping or make green juice by myself because it would just hurt too much to pick up the knife or pick up stuff in the kitchen. Like I was pretty, it was very painful. And I was exhausted. And I was really unable to take care of my son properly. And it was bad time for me. Absolutely. But having already researched so much about the food, you know, I'd been researching the food for decades. I knew there was something more to it than that. You know, I was already gluten-free. I was already dairy-free. I was already eating high raw. Like, there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
I want to just stop you there for a second because I want people to really tune into that because I hear that a lot. I just don't get it. I'm eating all this great food. I'm gluten-free. I'm dairy-free. Yet I'm still having problems. What's going on? So if that's you, really sit here. Don't multitask. Get out a notepad. Take some notes. And just really listen in. Because if this is you, then what Steph has to say today may really turn your life around. So thank you.
So I started researching more about the body, right? And I hadn't quite honed in on the gut yet. It was not until my son started to, he was, you know, just over a year old, he was starting to eat solid foods, and I knew I wanted him to have some probiotic bacteria. And I knew I wanted to feed him some kind of yogurt. And I'd be damned if I was going to feed him anything from the grocery store. Like, I started reading labels in a hole. And I'm like a seasoned label reader here, but some of the things that I would let slip into my own body, I realized, wow, I'm not feeding this to my son. He is totally helpless here. You know, it's up to me. So I started making my own yogurt. And then people started to want to buy my yogurt, and I was making it out of almonds and coconut at the time. And people started to come, you know, to my back door and buy this yogurt off of me. And then I thought, well, you know, I better start. Then I started doing some research here because I'm starting to be responsible for not only my son, but like a community of people who are trying to get real food, which actually was so exciting and inspiring for me at the time.
Right.
And I was still pretty sick here. So I'm lying on the couch doing some research, just trying to figure out what would be best to put in my yogurt. And the stuff that I learned about bacteria and our digestive systems that, like, keep in mind, I am a reader, and I've been reading stuff about health and about the body and about digestion for literally decades at this point. The stuff I learned about bacteria when I was trying to make my own yogurt blew my mind. And I couldn't believe that this information was not out there for people because it was all there. Like, it was all in studies. Like, it's there. But it's not for sale in capsules, and it's not in the yogurts that we can buy in the store. And the research, you know, there's so much, there's a huge body of research on this, and I know that some of it's still really new, but it's not quite at the point where we're aware of this stuff generally. So I got pretty excited about sharing it with people and, of course, using this information on myself to get myself up off the couch and get my life back.
Wow. And so was this like something that just like completely turned your health around, or was it a slow process going in? Because it was just specific bacteria that you learned to inoculate into your yogurts, right?
Right, yeah. So learning about the yogurt you know, I just collected a whole bunch of research and papers about different bacteria. And then I thought, wouldn't it be great to put this bacteria in the yogurt? Oh, we can't buy it. Wouldn't it be great to put this bacteria in? Oh, it's not for sale. And so that's one thing. But then for my own health, definitely changing the bacteria in my gut totally changed my health, along with in other parts of my body. So it's not like, you know, changing your gut bugs are necessarily going to heal everything. But I think it might be the one thing that if you do everything else, that one thing could stop you from getting better.
Mm.
So I had bacterial infections in other parts of my body, in my sinuses, and I had a bone infection as well. So I had a pretty serious bacterial thing going on everywhere. So it was in my best interest to figure that stuff out as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. As quickly as possible. So how long before you were able to be as bright and shiny as you are right now?
So once I started, you know, I made a plan, a really systematic plan. I love to make systems, and I just followed it. And I remember at 3 months, almost losing hope, just going like, man, this is not worth it, you know. And I went and I talked to somebody else who I knew who also had recovered from rheumatoid arthritis, and I just told her I was about to give up, and she said, just wait a couple more weeks, you know, and see what happens. And that's the last time I really remember being in pain. So I always guess it took about, you know, you kind of forget how bad it is, you kind of black stuff out.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, but it was somewhere between 3 and 4 months that I started being able to be really, like, feel awake. And, it's hard to describe.
Go ahead. No, I was just saying that's with pretty much just doing what you had been doing in terms of your juicing and your good foods and your gluten-free, dairy-free, and balancing, the thing you changed was the balancing those bugs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were going to say it's almost like...
Yeah, it's hard to describe exhaustion, and it's kind of like one of those things you only really know unless like, if you've been there. But you know when it's gone.
Yes.
Feel fully present in your life, or, you know, I felt fully present in my life, and I was able to be in the moment and be there with my son in a way that was not kind of like I was in a haze. The fact that bacteria and our digestion can do that to us, kind of take out the shininess of life.
Yeah,
you know, that's
and put you in that cloud. It really does, and it's so easy. So a couple of things I'd like you to share with people is, one is, how do these guys get out of balance in the first place? And then what are some of the ways that they show up, you know, in the gut? But there were lots of other things. It wasn't your gut that really drove you to seek solutions.
Right, yeah. Okay, so some of the ways that they can get out of balance in the first place, I'll go for the easy ones first. So chlorinated water, antibiotics. And sometimes those things, you know, are unavoidable, and those might be things that happened when we were really little. So I think most of us have had chlorinated water and antibiotics at some point. And some other things that can happen are, you know, being born through a C-section, not having like a vaginal delivery, or getting some kind of a traveler's
bug. Explain that to people
bug.
A little bit, because I want you to explain that C-section thing, because C-sections are at an all-time high now. They're like 40% of all births these days are considered to be done through C-section. A lot of them are elective C-sections, not like mama's in danger, baby's in danger, let's hurry up and cut baby out. It's more doctor has a golf appointment, or mom is going on vacation the following week and wants to make sure she's done. So let's talk just so briefly about how does that affect baby's gut flora?
Right. Okay, well, so I just want to preface with, my son was born through C-section, even after I had been to a midwife, you know, and I tried everything I could, and things just didn't go the way that were planned.
Right.
So sometimes
right.
these interventions
sometimes
are totally necessary.
Yes.
Yeah, totally
yes.
necessary.
Yes.
But what happens when the baby doesn't go through the birth canal like it was designed to, or like he or she was designed to, they don't get kind of inoculated by all the friendly bacteria that are on the mom's body. So, you know, we have friendly bacteria in our digestive systems and in our sinuses and in our reproductive systems as well. And so just going through the birth canal, the baby gets exposed to just a dose of bacteria that helps their immune system to sort of be ready to exist in the living world here. Yeah, and so without that, and then especially like my son was born really early. He was born via C-section, and basically I never even got to see him. He got taken away and put in like some incubator somewhere.
Oh,
so he missed out on that whole thing.
Yeah, and so whatever bacteria were hanging around on the nurses, their clothing, in the air, is what he got inoculated
right.
with rather than the good flora. Yeah.
Right, you got it. Yeah. Yeah, and mm-hmm. so it's a big deal because some of those bacteria, or as you're going to learn later on this radio show, I'm sure, most of those good bacteria that are in our bodies, we can't replace easily. We can't get
yeah.
them from yogurt, and we can't get them from probiotics. And one of the only places we can get them from is our parents, our familial connections, or the bacteria that are in nature.
Yeah. So all these things that are commonplace, so chlorinated water, very common. The mm-hmm. antibiotics, very common. C-section,
mm-hmm.
very common. What about the
yeah.
pesticides and all that stuff that's on the non-organic foods? Does that contribute too?
Absolutely.
Eating animal products that are, you know, grown and given loads of antibiotics.
Yeah. Antibiotics, for sure. And like without going too heavily into antibiotic resistant bacteria, because that's like a total other show, what ends up happening is some of them end up getting stronger and getting basically they pack a suitcase full of resistance to different antibiotics, and they can pass this suitcase to other bacteria. And so they can kind of teach all the other bacteria to become resistant too. And so then you end up with a whole bunch of really strong ones, and some of the more delicate ones get lost. If that makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
And other things like GMO, genetically modified foods, have been shown to change the DNA in the bacteria themselves, which I'm sure has an effect. It has been shown to have an effect. Yeah.
Wow. So all this stuff contributes. And, I mean, mm-hmm. we always have to ask the question, and this is a question that's so hard to answer, but I'll just to put it out there, is why does one person who's been exposed to all these things have this problem and another person not? Or somebody like you who had been off of the chlorinated water and not on antibiotics for a while, how
mm-hmm.
does that happen? You know, why does one person and not another?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, in terms of symptoms showing up, there are other factors, right? And
yeah.
we definitely had some autoimmune stuff in our genetics and things that made it show up faster for us, that they were out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that I never really had my bacteria right to begin with.
yeah.
So what seemed like it was normal to me was just way off of normal. Like, I remember being,
yeah.
you know, 12 years old and wondering why my pants didn't fit after lunch. You know, and I just felt like, you know, wow, I wish I was like those girls whose, like, bellies are flat. You know, and it's just not something you talk about. But no one's going to, if your whole family is kind of having those symptoms, no one's really going to say, like, hey, it's not normal.
It's not normal. It just is right. Maybe those people are abnormal with the flat bellies. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was one of the symptoms. You experienced digestive stuff your whole life, you said, and the belly exploding basically after every meal, so your pants didn't fit anymore, was one symptom. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to that one. And, you know, certainly we can relate to the gas and the bloating and the gurgling and, you know, the burning and all those kinds of things that we have lots of over-the-counter medications that are advertised on lots of TV shows and radio shows and in magazines, so we think it's normal. And it's not. So that's the first clue, right? But what are some of the other things that might be showing up? If somebody thinks they just have the normal digestion, and maybe they do have good digestion, but is it possible for these symptoms of these out-of-balance gut bugs to show up somewhere else?
Right. So there have been so many things that have been linked, causally linked at this point, to gut bugs, like anger and depression. And, you know, there are some gut bugs that, if they're out of balance, can contribute to type 2 diabetes, inability to lose weight, anxiety. I hate to cite this study because it's a study done on rats, and it's a study done on clinically depressed rats. So they took a bunch of rats and they determined that they were clinically depressed, which, you know, is just so sad. And then they took a bunch of rats that were sterile, so they have apparently not got any bacteria in their systems. I don't know how they do this. But so they've got the clinically depressed rats and the sterile rats. They gave the sterile rats the bacteria from the clinically depressed rats, and they all got depressed.
Oh.
Every one of them got depressed, every single one. So, they're able to make rats depressed by giving them bacteria.
Bacteria from the other, and I'm assuming they did that by a fecal implant or
fecal
something.
Fecal transplant, yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is because people are doing that these days, right? That's considered now a kind of a medical thing. And, boy, you better be careful who you get as a donor, right? Or you can take on their depression. And find somebody who's happy and you know, energetic and feeling great and get their gut bugs.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you mentioned the joint pains, right? Is that a common manifestation of the gut bugs being out of balance? Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It is.
Yeah. And who would have thought, right? I have joint pain. Yeah. My gut bugs are out of whack, right? It's just not a connection that the average person makes, which is why we're here today, right? Because we want to talk about this.
Yeah, totally. And mine was beyond a little bit of sort of aching, sort of creaking stuff. It was they were discolored and swollen.
Wow.
Typically, someone in that situation would be given some medication. It's just because I'm really stubborn and I was not willing to accept that. And I just kept digging and digging and digging. But who would think that those things are connected, right?
Right, right. We wouldn't. We wouldn't in general. Yeah. So it's good to be aware of that. So if you've got unexplainable symptoms, right? You're we don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you need some Prozac. think gut bugs, because it could be out of it could be out of balance. And I've seen it too with skin problems. A lot of people with chronic skin issues with, you know, eczema and psoriasis. Gut bugs out of balance, very, very commonly associated with that, right? Yeah. Kids who can't sit still and are diagnosed with attention deficit disorder and put on medications for that.
Yeah.
That could be
definitely.
Their gut bugs, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of studies on, you know, a lot of people get a lot of benefit from the gluten-free and casein-free diet for kids that are are struggling with autism or hyperactivity, and they get even better results if they can balance out the gut bugs.
Okay, so I want to just go back to this. So a lot of people are looking at probiotics. So I'll take probiotics and yogurts and kefirs and, you know, fermented vegetables are just all over the place these days because people become aware that this is important.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago, if you wanted to try to find a nice unheated raw sauerkraut that was fresh made or a cultured vegetable, good luck. There was a lot in the can, but we know what happens with cans. They're heated and pasteurized and there's no longer any live cultures. And the yogurts that you buy, the Danons, and, you know, no offense to any one brand, but they don't really have a preponderance of live cultures. So is that a way that people can just go, oh yeah, I have these things, I'm going to go and I'm going to make my own yogurt, or I'm going to buy these coconut yogurts, almond yogurts. I mean, it's really amazing how many different ones are out there these days.
Mm-hmm.
So is that an approach that people can take? And if not, what else can they do?
Okay. Yeah, I'd really like to speak to that because this is a really important topic for me and probably the main reason why I got into this in the first place. So all those bacteria that start with lactobacillus or in the yogurt container because they need to save space, it might be L and then something, L. reuteri, L. plantarum, L. acidophilus, bulgaricus, all those guys put together add up to no more than 2% of your total gut flora. So to be clear, out of like the, out of the 400 to 1,000 species in our, each of our bodies, up to 2% of those are those lactobacillus strains, or should be.
Wow.
This is the thing that I was like, oh my God, everybody has to know about this. You know, we need to know this. Those are the ones that like to live in our small intestine and that in proportion can help keep our immune system balanced, can help us to absorb nutrients, and can help us to have a healthy environment in there. But out of balance, so too many of those guys, and we just have a bad situation in our small intestinal tract.
So taking probiotics, this typical strain, the Acidophilus is pretty typical strain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just doing that and taking them in large quantities can actually throw the gut flora off. Is that what you're saying?
That is totally what I'm saying. That is totally
wow. Right.
Yeah. And so those ones, they're transient bacteria. So they don't, if everything's working properly, they should not be taking up permanent residence in there. So, you know, it's okay to have yogurts or to have, coconut kefir, or to have those things with the good lactobacillus cultures, because we do need to replenish them over time.
Yeah.
However, if that's all we're doing, we are going to have a messed up system.
Wow.
And
that's very sobering.
Yeah, I know it is. I just want to say one more thing here. The word probiotic is controlled by the dairy industry. You're not allowed to write probiotic on your product unless it has one of the bacteria that has been studied and has been labeled probiotic. And like we just talked about, those are a very small portion of the bacteria in your digestive system. And so what everybody has been telling us is, you know, the probiotic ones are the good guys, and then there's like a whole bunch of neutral guys, and then there's like some bad guys. And I'm trying to say, all of those neutral guys are actually good guys. They just haven't been studied, and nobody's got a patent on them, and they're not for sale. So nobody's telling us how good they are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've painted a little bit of a grim picture here, and I don't like leaving people with a grim picture because we're all out there eating our yogurts and making our cashew and coconut yogurts and drinking kefir and feeling like we're really doing something here, and you're telling us that maybe not, and it might actually be making it worse. So what's the average person to do here?
Right, so it's still good to do those things because, like I said, they are transient and they don't, you know, they don't live in there forever, and we have to kind of keep replenishing them. But so there's the lactobacillus ones, and then there's the bifidus cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So the bifidus cultures, we should have kind of 10 times those, or maybe about 10% of our gut flora should be the bifidus cultures. So one thing that you can do, you know, is when you go and buy a probiotic, make sure it's got the most bifidus that you can get. They don't like to make them heavy on the bifidus because it's more expensive to produce. But you can get, there's like a bifido factor, or Custom Probiotics has a powder. That's customprobiotics.com. They've got a powder that you can get that's high in bifidus or even just straight bifidus. And so those ones, we'd want to get more of those and like less of the lactobacillus ones.
Wow. So the typical formula is usually either equal or would have more lacto. So
totally.
It sounds like people really should be getting that separate bifidus to supplement the other one. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it is available, and we can buy it.
It is available. Okay.
Yeah.
And you said it's more expensive, but what about getting it and then making your own yogurt kefir, et cetera, using that so that it...
Exactly.
We're on to something here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enough to just make your own yogurt and use whatever yogurt you've got from someplace else. You can actually make your own yogurt and optimize the levels.
Absolutely. So just for someone with no specific symptoms but totally just wants to do it right, you could get the bifidus, you can get the powder. You know, and I end up using like a half a teaspoon to make a starter, and then I end up using that starter to make something like by making another starter with it and another starter and another starter, I end up making something like 60 liters. Like it ends up being quite a bit. So you can really stretch, like if you're worried about saving, because the bifidus are more expensive, saving money on it, you can really stretch it out by making your own cultured, you know, dairy-free yogurts at home or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say making a starter, how do people learn about how to make a starter? Is that something that they can visit your website, or do you have some kind of videos on that, or how would you suggest people find out how to make a starter?
That's true. Oh, that's funny. Okay, so on my homepage, on stephjackson.com, I have a probiotic food craft book, and it'll teach you how to make a starter. And you can use that starter and nut yogurts, and
Great. That's great, because that's a common term that's used, but people may not be familiar, or they've heard it because they've heard of, you know, using a sourdough starter for making bread or using a yogurt starter, but not really knowing, well, how do I make my own? I thought you just take leftover yogurt and use it as a starter. So that's great. So stephjackson.com, go out there and download the probiotic food craft book. Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and you don't have to use a starter. I just like to make it go as far as I can.
To make it
I'm
go far, yeah.
And then I'll get the highest quality bifidum that I can get, and I'll culture it. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So what else? You made a little caveat there, and I want to go back to that. You said if you're, you know, doing okay and you're just wanting to, you know, maintain the good flora, this is a good approach. But I got the impression that if you're really messed up, there may be some other things you need to be doing.
Right. So each of the bacteria, they each kind of make something that the other bacteria need, and they kind of take something and process it that the other bacteria make, kind of thing. So
depending on what's going on, like if you have like a, if you have a lot of allergies, if you have like a histamine reaction to foods or, you know, to springtime, you can get the Bifidum infantis. So that's Bifidum infantis. And those guys actually make an enzyme that gets rid of histamine.
Oh.
Which is so cool. Yeah, and so each of the bacteria, like the, all the ones that, that are not probiotic, they each do something that is just so awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is not stuff that's out there. I mean, it's not something we can just, let's go get the book that tells us what all the gut bugs are and what they do so we could choose. Right? This is stuff you had to dig and dig and dig. So you need to write a book.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. What a great idea.
To dig and dig and dig. I want to tell you about a fun game that I played on the weekend. Would you indulge me for a second?
I would love to hear it.
I had the opportunity, I was at an event, and I had the opportunity to lead like a five-minute segment, 5 minutes. And I was trying to think of what I could do in 5 minutes. And so, and there were only like 25 people there. But what I did is I gave them each a bacteria. And so I stuck these names of bacteria on their on their shirts. And so everybody was walking around with a little name. And I told them each what they made and then what they needed. And I told them to go in and find someone that had what they needed. And I told them to do it silently. We do it kind of like musical chairs. And so within the 5 minutes, everybody in that group ended up holding hands with everybody else. So every single one of those bacteria was using something that another bacteria made. And it was just so interconnected. I'm so excited about how this game actually worked.
Wow, that's so fun. So they got it, right? They got it that disrupting one of them could disrupt them all, right? Just like why antibiotics or chlorinated water. If one's super sensitive to chlorine and you're drinking chlorinated water, that one goes bye-bye and then the whole rest of them get out of whack.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, but a lot of those ones that, so if you're kind of panicking and going, I can't get the right bacteria, they're all gone, I had antibiotics, and a lot of those are in naturally fermented foods. You know, they're in nature. And so if vegetables that are grown in good soil, that are organic, have been fermented, then those bacteria that were on the plant when it was growing will be in that culture, you know, so we'll be getting a more balanced culture. So if you don't want to make them yourself, you can definitely now go, you know, to more grocery stores and farmers markets and get, like, as long as you're asking, make sure that it's not pasteurized and and get the foods that
but what about washing them off? Does that make a difference? Like, you know, we're a germ-phobic society, right? So, you know, we have the triple wash spinach and the quadruple washed this and that and the other thing. And and people are using, you know, sprays to spray their vegetables because they want to get the pesticides off. But what does that do to the bacteria counts?
Right, yeah. And so definitely, it definitely changes things. I mean, it's never going to kill all of them.
Good.
but the ones left standing, like, I don't want a host of kind of super bionic, like superhero bacteria. I just want normal, balanced bacteria in my body. I don't want the ones that have been nuked and had chemicals sprayed on them and had antibiotics. And I don't want the ones left standing after some kind of explosion. I want the balanced ones. So I got to stress buying organic foods. I know not everybody can have a garden and grow their own food. If you can, that's excellent. But if you can't, speak up. You know, when you go to the store, ask for organics. We're really at a tipping point here.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're starting to listen.
They are. So, it's more and more supermarkets, even in small towns, are starting to have that. So it is important. And I would say that, would you agree with this? If you're growing your own food in your backyard and you know that, you know, you haven't had, you know, lots of stray animals peeing on them or whatever that you're concerned about, is to just not wash them? Would that be a useful thing to do?
I can't believe I'm going to say this on the radio show, but that's sort of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A lot of the bacteria that we really need are in the dirt, and that's why they're not for sale, because they're dirt cheap. Nobody's figured out how to monetize them, so they're not in the pills and potions, and they're in the dirt. So it's there. You know, there's bacteria. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want you to finish because I have a cool idea.
Yeah, I was going to give one example. There's a bacteria that eats oxalates, and I know you have a really sophisticated audience, and so they're totally going to know what oxalates are. But oxalates are those things that are in a lot of leafy green vegetables that can cause problems for a lot of people, and there are some people that can't digest them properly. There's a bacteria that it can eat oxalates, and it's a delicate bacteria in our systems, and of course, we can't buy it in probiotics. But can you guess where in nature this oxalate-eating bacteria would live?
Okay, in the dirt.
In the dirt or around plants that have what? Oxalates.
Oh. Hmm?
Oh. Right?
Oh, yeah, because they're looking for, they're smart.
They know, they know what they want to eat it. They're there. They're already there.
So can we grow spinach and then scoop the dirt out and somehow make something from the dirt?
Yeah, you know, that is true. That is something that can be. They do have soil-based organisms now that you can buy if you want to have more pure kind of thing. So you can buy those. Or you can ferment those vegetables that are, you know, from the dirt.
Interesting. So grow things that are, if you're sensitive to oxalates, maybe grow things that are low oxalates right next to the ones that are high, so that there's a lot of those bacteria on it.
That's cool. I would love to do a culture and test that.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. Yeah.
Totally aside, but it costs like $100 to send a yogurt sample to the lab.
Okay.
And after I found that out, I just want to send everything to the lab.
So you play and you come up with a concoction and then you send it off to the lab. Okay.
Why not? Because we can. You know, we can.
You can, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember listening to someone speak, and she said one of her favorite things to do is to go out into the woods where things are growing, a lot of wild stuff, you know, away from where the road is and all that, and to just dig a hole in the soil and just pull soil from that's, you know, not necessarily the very top, but stuff that's a little deeper so that it isn't contaminated, and then bringing it in and almost like make a tea out of it. I'm like, you're too what? But she kind of would put the water on it, and then she'd strain out the pieces, right? But, I mean, I guess you have to do it with cold water because you can kill the bacteria. But I thought that, it's kind of interesting. It's not the most appealing thing in the world, but it might be a way to get our buds. We digress here.
Well, that's really interesting. Well, there's Shilajit.
Shilajit is a dirt.
It's just dirt, right? Yeah. We pay good money for that.
And have this up in culture to see if they have good organisms in it?
No, I don't know anything about that. But, yeah, I think we're onto something here. Yeah,
I think maybe
make
some yogurt with Shilajit in it and then send it to the lab to culture it. Oh, interesting.
Okay, so we'll get back to you guys on all that.
Soil-based organisms. We'll let you know. We're just exploring where our minds are going. So on soil-based organisms, right, because there are a few brands, is that what you would recommend that people get? Do they do just that? Do they do that with the bifidus? You know, where do people go with this if they want to just go with commercial products?
So for someone who is compromised, for someone who suspects that they have leaky gut, I would not start with that. I would start with the bifidus, and I would start with trying to get rid of some of the overgrown bacteria and healing the leaky gut. And once there's kind of less of a chance that bacteria are going to go flying into the bloodstream, basically.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Then I would go with the soil-based organisms to really rebuild the healthy, strong colony in there. So it is a little bit, like, it is a little bit of work. Like, reclaiming our health is not something that can be done overnight, but it is something that can be done step by step.
Step by step. Right. And speaking of that, I know you have some resources that people can, you have a class coming up, and you did a whole bunch of videos and audios recently. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, that's true. I did a series of 3 videos just explaining what the probiotics companies don't want you to know, and having a quiz where you can see if your gut bacteria might be at the root of some of the things that you're struggling with. And I put together a probiotic desserts ebook to tempt you to come and get my free gift. And the probiotic desserts ebook is at StephJackson.com/yummy.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
And it's a great book. I've seen it. It's awesome.
Cool.
It's awesome. And somebody was posting on one of our practitioner groups about the chia chocolate mousse or something. Was that one of the probiotic desserts? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was something that was to sort of discourage the bad bacteria and encourage the good ones. And so I put together a little recipe. And yeah, I was so happy that she posted that she liked that. That just made my day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Happy.
She was wild about it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you get the book, then you can access all those videos and the quiz and everything too. So.
Okay. Yeah. So if they get the book, if they go to StephJackson.com/yummy, then they can get access to the rest of the videos and everything.
Yeah, and then I'll send you a message with the link so you can go to the videos.
Oh, with the link.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Super, super. Yeah, that way that's easy to remember. StephJackson.com/yummy. And then you've also got this, you've got a program coming up. And I want to hear more about it because I haven't really heard much about it, in that you're actually going to help people to restore their gut bacteria. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So it's 4 steps that I've put together. You know, and the first step is to stop feeding the bad ones. So it's like as if you have some kind of, like, a relative that's overstayed their welcome at your house, or someone like that. Someone with stinky socks sleeping on your couch, and you want to stop feeding them. So the first thing you got to do is stop feeding them. And then the second thing is to ask them to leave, you know, and you can use herbs to ask them to leave. You can use other probiotics to ask them to leave. And it's just when there's something that's a little overgrown that shouldn't be. So when there's, like, bloating and stuff like that after eating. So then step 2 is to ask them to leave. Step 3 is to clean up. Because unfortunately, a lot of the time when we try to get rid of these organisms, whether it's candida or, you know, bad bacteria or whatever, they put up a fight, and when they die, they excrete, like, chemicals into our system that we kind of have to get rid of. And so we want to just make sure that we minimize the die-off, minimize the feeling bad from that. So that's step 3, clean up and get rid of all the gunk. And then step 4 is to replace them. And so we can, in there, and we'll, like, strategically replace them, make sure we're getting the right amount of bifidum and the right amount of lactobacillus and the right amount of soil-based organisms, and make sure it's in balance for each person. Because there's a little bit of strategy involved, you know.
But it's strategy
for some
based
people,
on the person's.
Yeah. For some people, it's just like, hey, you know what, I have a bit of candida, you know, and then it's pretty straightforward. But for someone who's been sick for a long time, like I was, and, you know, I'm thankful for that now because it's given me such great insight. but for someone who's been sick like I was, then they might need to to just know that, you know, which ones are going to be the ones that eat the acid, or which ones are going to be the ones that eat the carbon dioxide, or like based on their symptoms, they're going to want more of one thing and less of another. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. And so those are the steps you take people through, and you help them with that part of, you know, customizing it for themselves.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Great. So, do you have a link for that one, too, in case somebody wants to check that out?
Yeah, it's a bit longer. Do you think we could post it under the interview?
Yeah, let's post it. We'll post it.
Yeah.
So go ahead and say it, and we'll have Lynn make sure she posts it on the page, and I'll take Lynn on to see if anybody has questions, because I'm sure they're loaded with questions.
Cool.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So the link is stephjackson.com/core-reset-info-long.
What? Core?
I didn't plan that out. Reset-info-long.
Long. Oh my goodness gracious, long. Okay.
I wasn't planning on telling.
Have a little conversation after this, and we're going to help you change the name of that thing. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on telling everybody about that today, but yes, it's there. We do start in 5 days, so yeah.
Okay, good.
Still some time. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So, and then the other thing I want to make sure everybody knows and they're invited to is on Saturday you're going to do a presentation to take a little bit different turn, but kind of on the same idea, which is about the three ways that imbalanced gut bacteria sabotage your health. So you're welcome to come to that. And I have a link for that. It's drritamarie.com/go/bacteria. I like to keep my names a little simpler than you do.
Duly noted.
DrRitaMarie.com/go/gut-bacteria. And that'll give you a page where you can get the registration information for coming. And it's on Saturday morning. I think it's Saturday afternoon. Is it 1:30 that we're doing it?
Yeah.
1:30 my time.
Central.
Yeah. And you're welcome to come to that and just hang out with us and find out more. So we'd like to have you there.
Are we going to be able to take
questions
on that call?
Yes, we are. So I'm going to open up Lynn's line, and Lynn is going to tell everybody how they can ask questions. So Lynn, hello.
Hello. So if you are currently on your phone and would like to ask a question, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are on the web and would like to ask a question, there's a chat that you can type it in, and I'll make sure it's asked. Otherwise, if you would like to call in, the number is 424-243-9555. And then, again, press 1 on your telephone keypad. I did have a couple of things I was going to say. One, I think it was Victoria Botenko who did the dirt tea.
The dirt tea. Okay.
I don't know what else to call it. And if I spend a lot of time in some good soil with my hands, do I absorb some of that nutrient through the dirt, through my skin?
Our skin is kind of set up to keep things out that are the size of bacteria.
Okay.
So most of the time that kind of keeps out. But we put our fingers in our eyes and, you know, our mouth. And
That's what I was just going to say. You go and rub your nose and you lick your fingers and you rub your eyes. So, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then you made a starter on our Vital Healing Kitchen, did you not?
Yes.
So we've got a video of that then.
So we have Steph on video not only making the starter, but making some yummy yogurts and cheeses and dips and desserts. So if you want to go to vitalhealthcommunity.com, and when you register for that, you would want to get the you'd want to do the premium membership. the premium membership. And if you're already a member, just upgrade to premium membership because it was like 5 or 6 months ago. And the regular membership, you just get back 2 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we have a phone call.
Oh, yeah, we do. Okay, well, let me open that line here. Hi, 510 area code. Introduce yourself and ask your question, please.
Hi, my name is Antoinette, and I want to know if you have SIBO and you're told not to introduce any kind of cultured foods or liquids, how do you address that? How do you address SIBO and trying to get things back in balance?
Awesome question.
Okay, yeah, that's a brilliant question. I have a couple of videos and articles on my website about that that I just would love to, after I answer your question, to direct you to. So you can go to stephjackson.com and you can search in the search field D-lactic acid.
Okay.
And now I'm going to kind of explain about that. So one of the things that happens in SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, is that the bacteria that like to produce something called D-lactic acid can get overgrown. And D-lactic acid is not something that our bodies can get rid of. There are, incidentally, other bacteria that eat D-lactic acid. And that's why this is kind of like a multi-step thing. But so if we don't have enough of those, and they're just left making this D-lactic acid, and they create their own environment in there, and they get more and more overgrown, and another thing they can do is they can convince our small intestine to slow down its motor complex, basically. So then the bacteria get really overgrown. They're producing this D-lactic acid, and they're slowing down our small intestine's ability to clean itself out. And so most of those probiotics that you can buy in yogurt or in all cultured foods, including coconut kefir, especially kombucha, including, you know, sauerkrauts and kimchi, those all have D-lactic acid-producing bacteria. And if you've already got too many D-lactic acid-producing bacteria, you don't want more.
Because I can't tolerate them at all.
Right. But right. So here's what you do want. Here's what you do want. You do want more bifidum, and you do want those bacteria that eat D-lactic acid. So there can be some strategy involved, but in any strategy, you're going to have to get rid of the overgrowth of bacteria. So that's like when I was talking about the steps before, that's like step one, stop feeding them. Step two, ask them to leave. And with SIBO, you're going to have to ask them to leave in some very direct ways. Right. Like, you need to get
Steph, rid of
those
guys. I want to ask you a question, because listening to your story about how you went to various doctors and you just couldn't figure out all that was wrong, and let alone be able to narrow it down to gut bacteria, I have been having many, many problems, and I just was diagnosed with SIBO. But one thing that no one can tell me about, and I've been to many doctors, because I'm also have an autoimmune condition, is I've been having pain in my buttocks, like pain in my buttocks. And I can't figure it out. And it seems like the more pain I have, the more muscle loss it wants to experience. And I'm starting to feel like I've got just an aggregate of these bad bacteria that's causing a problem.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, there's a lot that you can do to fix your problem. But the first thing, and the thing that, because those bacteria are able to produce chemicals and enzymes that almost control our bodies in a way, and that can definitely control our immune systems, got to handle the SIBO first. And then after that, see what's left and go for that stuff after.
Well, I just hope there's something that's left of my butt.
Right.
You're so funny.
I mean, literally, I go to the doctor and I say my excuse me, ladies, but I told him my ass hurts and it's leaving me. And they are quite perplexed. But I did just get diagnosed with SIBO.
Okay. So this is something that you help people to do, right? You help people to do those steps. So you might want to give Steph, you know, send an email, go to her site, and just get in touch and see if there's some ways that she can help you to tailor the program specifically for you.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, because it's not enough to just get rid of the SIBO, which is the typical medical approach, right? Just get rid of it. Here, take these antibiotics or herbs or whatever. But it's all those other pieces that are important.
Right.
And yes, stop taking the probiotics because that's going to stop feeding them. Stop eating sugar and other things that help those guys to grow. And what was it? The fermented sugar, right? Wasn't who was saying that? Fermented sugar,
it's
like
probably
beer. Yeah, maybe it was you that said that. That's worse than just eating straight sugar. So if you're eating like, you know, like a fruit juice or things that have gone bad or your sluggish digestion and you've got this sugar fermenting in your gut, that's going to feed them worse. So you've got to obviously do the dietary things to stop feeding them. You've got to get rid of them, and that might be an antibiotic or it might be an herbal. Hopefully you can do it with the herbal, and there's some really good herbal strategies for getting rid of SIBO. But then the next two steps are the steps that you really need to work at is to replace them with the right ones, right? And that's with getting the bifidus and whatever. What are the ones that eat the D-lactic acid? Is there are there a bunch of those?
So let me just, I'm going to look through my note here. There's one in particular.
And are they the ones that we can buy, or are those the ones that we don't have to, we just have to eat dirt to get?
Yeah, you might have to get them from soil-based So it's called E-Halli, H-A-L-L-I-I. I think it's an Enterobacter. But they have them in the soil-based. They have them in the soil-based organisms. But I would totally, if you have SIBO, don't go straight for the soil-based organisms.
Don't go
just because
it.
If there's any leaky gut going on in there, then and you have autoimmune condition,
and
just kind of make it. So we want to get rid of the leaky gut. Like we want to get rid of the bacteria. Okay, big picture. You want to get rid of these bacteria that are stopping you from being able to heal. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because they're just wreaking havoc and they're stopping you from being able to be effective in everything that you're doing. And I know if you're listening to Dr. Rita Marie, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff already. And then, so after getting rid of those guys, then you got to heal the leaky gut.
Okay.
And then you got to work on the immune system. And without going on for too long about this, one of the things that an overgrowth of bacteria can do is they can, you've kind of got two branches of the immune system, the TH1 and the TH2. And the TH2 is like this passive aggressive, they kind of put out some antibodies. They're kind of sitting in their offices licking their pens. And the TH1 are like the, like, SWAT team. I'm just making this up. Mm. They go, like, into the cells, and they can grab the viruses out of the cells, and they can do really strategic attacks. And one of the things that those bacteria can do when they're in the wrong way is they can make the pencil-licking passive-aggressive immune system really take over. And then the other guys... The other guys go for a coffee break, the stealth, like, attack unit. They go for a coffee break. And so after you fix the bacteria and you heal the gut, you need to let them know the coffee break is over.
Yeah. I like that.
It's so true, though, right? Like, we... It's just so many things that these bacteria can do that we're just learning about.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
so
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great information.
So thank you for posing that. That was a great question because I'm sure there's other people who are questioning that. Because SIBO was something that, you know, when I went to school, whatever it was, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, SIBO was one of these rare little things you learned about, but it was more textbook academic stuff, right? We didn't really see it, and nobody really talked about it until the last few years. And I think the internet has made it easy for people to talk about it, but it's not like it's not been there for a while. It's just that now we're recognizing it, like that's explaining a lot of these unexplained symptoms. So good luck with that, Antoinette. And I would highly encourage you to reach out to Steph and get her help with this.
Yes, I shall.
Thanks for the good question. I think that, it's a question for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great question, yeah.
But
thank
I bet
you.
No one talks about their buttocks hurting and dropping.
Well, that's the first one on me. Some people would like to lose some of their buttocks. But thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So did we have any? I saw a couple of hands go up, and then they went down again. So I don't know if you have any other questions. Yeah, there it was. 802.
And I do have a question from the...
Okay, go ahead with that one, and then we'll go to 802, which is Sarah.
Okay. It says, I remember Donna Gates mentioning if you have a vitamin D genetic mutation, you need fermented foods. Are there certain bacteria that we are looking for with the VDR SNP? Everyone in our family has this SNP.
Right. Mm. Okay, that's a good question. So it's not the bacteria themselves, but it's what they do to the cruciferous vegetables. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of that compound that is in cruciferous vegetables that helps
sulforaphane?
With the VDRs. Yep. I think that's it.
Sulforaphane, yeah.
And it's like
yes, it
the
is.
Most
yeah.
concentrated in like the mustard greens and the mustard seeds.
Yep.
So basically it does something to the sulforaphane that can then kind of scrub off your vitamin D receptors. So it's not the bacteria themselves, it's what happens to the sulforaphane so that it can then kind of make your vitamin D go where it needs to go. So that's good news because you can make like a fermented mustard with mustard seeds and you can put the bacteria that you need in there. So it doesn't matter which bacteria it is. It just matters
if
they're fermented.
If you're concerned. So, got it.
Exactly. Yeah, or you could do it without the D-lactic acid if you have a SIBO. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can still work on the VDR SNP. Yeah. That's cool, that's a good question.
Okay, 802, is that Sarah Grace? I think I'm recognizing the numbers
Sarah
now.
Grace.
Hi.
Oh yes. Hi. Oh my God,
hi.
This has been tremendous. This has been absolutely tremendous. And unfortunately, because of my health challenges, I've fallen asleep and then woken up, and then you're talking about SIBO, which I'm sure that I have. I am a very thin person with a huge, huge belly. I mean, I have to wear sweatpants, and I look like I'm 6 months pregnant. And I'm 60 wow. years old, and I've been having these gut issues for so many years and not being helped at all. But I do suspect that I have SIBO. Can you handle SIBO without drugs? Is my first question, and is fruit an issue with SIBO?
Great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with SIBO, the FODMAPs seem to be the biggest issue, and there are some pretty good FODMAP. I mean, Dr. Rita Marie, you have kind of a list of the same
well,
FODMAP.
I was told to go on a FODMAP diet.
That's just the safest thing without knowing specifically which bacteria are in there and getting all, you know, technical.
Oh, I mean, I've got a lot of health issues and I'm miserable.
SIBO can do that. You know, SIBO can do that. And I think more and more people are identifying with it now that the symptoms have been kind of shared and people
have
been
out of the
closet. Yeah, it's like out of the closet. We're all going, oh my God, my pants haven't fit me since I was 12.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about no flat stomach, I mean, I never had one. And I was on antibiotics almost since I came out of the womb for many years because I got strep throat, ear infections every 5 minutes. And then I found out way as an adult that I was high allergic to dairy and wheat. And so, right. You know, I was so sick and I have no, you know, immune system coverage there. But anyway, yeah, right. I mean, no flat stomach. But, I mean, mine is just, I'm in, you know, pain 24-7 with this huge, you know, bulging stomach on a thin person who has no butt.
Yeah. So you, so funny. But so you were mentioning whether sort of you can do it without pharmaceuticals or with pharmaceuticals. And it really does depend on the person in terms of their reaction to people have allergies to different herbs or to the drugs. Like a friend of mine did one of the pharmaceuticals and she ended up getting this weird tinnitus so she had a reaction to the drug, but then she tried one of the herbs and she was also allergic to that, you know, because you just get kind of sensitive after having your digestion run down for so many years.
Yes, I am sensitive to just about everything.
Right. And then the other thing to consider is, and this is just, you know, this might not apply to you, but you were mentioning strep, and there are a few different types of bacteria that are resistant and have shown to be resistant in studies to different herbs and to be able to develop a resistance to herbs and to antibiotics, to anything really, even to essential oils. They can become resistant more easily than others. And so that's like staph, all the types of staph, lots of types of strep, and a few types of Enterobacter, and as well as like the spirochetes, like H. pylori and Lyme disease. And so they can develop a resistance more quickly than other bacteria. So like just for a random example, if you had had an overgrowth of one of those and then not done the pharmaceutical as directed or even done it as directed, but it just wasn't enough, or done it without testing first and then testing after to see if it worked, it just might not have been enough. Or just doing one herb might not be enough.
Right.
You know, they've got a really short life cycle and they can tell each other what to do. They're like, oh, next time she comes with this, you know, antibiotic, just do this. And then they're all fine.
Yeah, they're saving themselves.
Right.
So I'm going to cut us off right now, and I'd love to continue this. And Sarah Grace, please do join us on Saturday.
I've got it on my calendar.
Okay, good. Yeah, join us then because we could go in more depth and, you know, answer other questions about this because we do have to go because I have another webinar to get on in 20 minutes that I have to get set up for. This has been great stuff. This is one of the best shows we've ever done, I think. It's just so full of information and practical stuff. And I just so appreciate you being here and being part of our community and just doing this. And
I really
encourage everybody to reach out to Steph and go watch her videos, join her program, come join us on Saturday when we do this again. And, you know, so we'll just keep going with the information. But it's drritamarie.com/go/gutbacteria, simple. And you can get to stephjackson.com and you can explore what she's got out there. You can go to stephjackson.com/yummy, right? Just not yummy.
Right.
Yeah, so stephjackson.com/yummy to get her probiotic dessert book, which is awesome. And then if you're just ready to have her guide you over the next whatever 6 weeks during this program, it's stephjackson.com/core-reset-info-long, and we'll have Lynn post that so that everybody can get access to that one.
Sorry.
So that's okay.
I do have another question. Can we fit in one question?
If we can do it really quickly, we can. I need to be off in 2 minutes.
Yep.
Okay, promise.
How does Bacillus fit into SIBO, introduce early on or later?
Lactobacillus?
Yep.
It depends on the strain. Some of them, I would just say, don't do it. And some of them are okay.
So go to my website, put D-lactic acid in the search field, and there's more info about which ones.
Okay.
Great.
So, I know you mentioned it earlier, but just in case you didn't get it.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again. It's been awesome, Steph. Really awesome. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk again
soon,
I'm sure. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Come back next week to Vibrant Health Solutions Radio Show and visit us at the vitalhealthcommunity.com. And there's the whole class that we did with Steph with a recipe guide and her demoing a lot of these probiotic recipes. So bye-bye, everybody. Until next time. Go out and be vibrant.